الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأمته وبارك وسلم. فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن فرعون علا في الأرض وجعل أهلها شيعا يستضعف طائفة منهم يذبح أبناءهم ويستحيي نساءهم إنه كان من المفسدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares in the Holy Quran that indeed Fir'aun exalted himself in the land and made its people into factions and groups, oppressing a sector among them, slaughtering their newborn sons, and keeping their females alive. Indeed, Fir'aun was of those who corrupted the earth. In another verse of the Quran, Allah declares, وَنَادَى فِرْعَوْنُ فِي قَوْمِهِ قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارِ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِي أَفَلَا تُبَصِرُونَ. And Fir'aun proclaimed among his people, saying, O my people, does not the kingdom of Egypt belong to me? Witness these streams flowing underneath my palace. Do you not see my power and my authority? Am I not better than this Musa, who is a contemptible wretch and can scarcely express himself clearly? Then why are not gold bracelets bestowed on him? Or why does he not come with angels accompanying him in procession? Thus did he make fools of his people, and they obeyed him. Truly, they were a people rebellious against Allah. In another verse of the Quran, Allah declares, فَلَمَّا أَلْقَوْا سَحَرُوا أَعْيُنَ النَّاسِ وَاسْتَرْهَبُوهُمْ وَجَاءُوا بِسِحْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. So when the magicians of Fir'aun threw their staffs, they bewitched the eyes of the people, and they struck terror into them, for they showed a great feat of magic. In yet another verse of the Quran, Allah declares, وَأَضَلَّ فِرْعَوْنُ قَوْمَهُ وَمَا هَدَى. Fir'aun led his people astray instead of leading them aright. وَأَوْرَثْنَا الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا يُسْتَضْعَفُونَ مَشَارِقَ الْأَرْضِ وَمَغَارِبَهَا الَّتِي بَارَكْنَا فِيهَا وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ الْحُسْنَى عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ بِمَا صَبَرُوا. And we made the people considered weak and of no account inheritors of the lands in both the east and the west, lands whereon we sent down our blessings. The fair promise of your Lord was fulfilled for those who believed amongst the children of Israel, because they had patience and constancy. And we leveled to the ground the great works and the fine buildings which Fir'aun and his people erected with such pride. These ayat tell us the story of Fir'aun. They tell us about his deceptive magic. They tell us about his tyranny. They tell us about his oppressive police state. And all of this is particularly instructive for Muslims today in the face of this COVID-19 trickery which is being played on humanity globally. The COVID-19 infection is being used to frighten us into submitting powerlessly to the shaitani forces, the forces of the Dajjal, and their latest move to make the world far more amenable to their insidious ends, to take much greater control of our lives. And this COVID-19 scam has certainly brought the secular Fir'auni Orwellian police state surveillance out of the shadows. And now we see it in the open. We see it on a scale that we've never seen before. This, what I would call a coup, was designed to take immediate measure to ensure that the fundamental rights and the fundamental freedoms that some of us enjoy, freedoms and rights, at least in name, which have been won after many centuries, these rights These freedoms have been stripped away from people. In a previous bayan, I talked about how Muslims, their rights, their freedoms, their lands, their wealth, these have been stripped of them many centuries ago. Through the process of colonization of Muslim lands, Muslims have effectively lost everything. Their lands have been pillaged, their women have been raped, their children have been slaughtered, they've been impoverished. Well, what was a tragic episode in the history of Islam, that seems to be visiting the Western peoples today. And this is why the idea of a virus pandemic seems to be quite clever. Because the fear of contracting the virus and the assumed deadly consequences can be grotesquely manipulated and magnified by what we've seen over the last few weeks, the inflation of the figures, the constant harping on it by the World Health Organization, the medical industry, which is actually in league with the pharmaceutical industry and the governments. And this is then exaggerated beyond measure by the corporate media. And it's made people virtually submissive to all these grotesquely oppressive measures that have been taken in stripping them of their fundamental rights, their fundamental freedoms, their freedom of association, even their very freedoms to practice their own religious duties. Now, fear manipulated by propaganda defeats knowledge and evidence every time. And history has displayed this before. Anyone can ask Joseph Goebbels how they did it in Nazi Germany. You play on the fear, and after that, well, you play on the fear again. But if you are not too scared to seek out the evidence, you get an utterly different picture of what is taking place. The real number of COVID-19 deaths are not what most people are told and what most people may think. How many people actually died from COVID-19? Well, the fact of the matter is that it's anyone's guess. And based on inaccurate, incomplete data, people are being terrorized by fear mongers into relinquishing these cherished freedoms. As a result of this pandemic of fear, the human rights to privacy, the basic rights of freedom of movement and association, freedom of assembly, all of these have been publicly and completely eviscerated in one fell swoop with bans on gatherings. There's all sorts of peculiar legal requirements for social distancing and even greater surveillance of our private activities with barely a murmur of protest. Now, denied these fundamental rights, others, including those preventing arbitrary arrest, for example, or detention, the entitlement to a fair and public hearing by an independent and impartial tribunal in response to a criminal charge, or for example, the right to make a living in the manner of one's own choosing, or to adequate health care, and to have some say in how we are governed, they have, if they, well, previously have ever existed in practice, they all have actually largely disappeared, as most governments around the world have used a variety of illegal and unconstitutional measures ranging from lockdowns, curfews, to what is effectively martial law, and even suspensions of parliaments in favor of, well, dictatorships, to usurp more complete control over their national societies. This has never happened in history before, not on this global scale. In addition, by deliberately crashing national economies, it's become so easy to conceal the fact that the global economies were on the brink of crashing anyway. Now, as the American and other economies falter from major structural problems, out of control debt, reckless spending, and government stupidity, like we have in Australia, in shuttering businesses, the markets crashing and economies tanking, this is all borne by the conveniently available COVID-19 disease excuse. In this way, we find that the true hands that are manipulating world affairs, they have rapidly and vastly expanded the number of people who live a precarious economic existence due to the exploitative functioning of the global economy, while also giving vast sums of money to wealthy corporations via government bailouts. Now, the underlying corporate dysfunctionality will obviously escape the blame. The complicity of governments in literally selling out their people to the 1%, in other words, that coterie of fabulously wealthy people who literally own the world, the government's culpability is all now obfuscated in the face of this COVID-19 distraction. But apart from these more obvious encroachments on our rights and on our freedoms, and also the economic well-being of our societies, there's a vast range of encroachments happening given the phenomenal corporate media attention focused on COVID-19 to effectively distract us. And that is all it is. It's a scamdemic to distract us. What we find is that government surveillance, although it was always there, has actually grown exponentially. And ultimately what is sought is total population control. What we've discovered over the last few weeks is the public acceptance of surveillance technology to spy on us in the supposed interests of our health is facilitating the efforts on the part of that unelected group of multi-billionaires that effectively control the world to rapidly expand their monitoring capacities. And governments have, well, no more than been prostitutes to these individuals and these large corporations that really wield true power. We live in a banking kleptocracy. In other words, large banks and their subsidiary corporations effectively control the destiny of humanity. And the public acceptance of the surveillance technology has been alarming. Up to this point, at least, there's been an outcry against the invasive technological tools that have stripped us of all privacy. Well, people have pretty much accepted that now. Also, we found that the deluge of propaganda is convincing us that compulsory vaccination will be necessary to ensure our health and our well-being. However, apart from the conclusively and extensively documented harm of vaccinations, there is extensive evidence that any such vaccination program will be the Trojan horse for implementing an electronic identification program that uses generalized vaccination as a platform for launching a scheme to give everyone portable and persistent biometrically linked digital identity. In other words, you will be continuously tracked. And the agents of this shaitani, firauni, dajjali order argue that the need for good digital ID is to prove you are who you are, first and foremost. And in a digital era, this is fundamental. Now, without thinking too hard, I wonder if these people are concerned about whether I have enough to eat, or whether I'm clothed, or whether I'm housed. And we see the millions of people that are living hand to mouth, or literally in the streets. The very same advocates of this type of digital tagging who say that it is for our good to identify us and that it's fundamental to ensure our well-being and, you could say, a personalized program to meet our needs. Well, the lie of the entire claim is proven by the fact that they don't care a damn about you and I, and particularly about the poor people in the streets. I also know for a fact that they have no interest in my privacy, or your privacy for that matter. The other concerning development as a consequence of this COVID-19 scamdemic is the deployment of the highly dangerous 5G network, which, under the guise of improving internet speeds and capacity, will vastly expand everyone's exposure to electromagnetic radiation with its long list of seriously adverse health impacts. And if anyone wants to know more about this, there's more than enough information online whereby they can come to understand the detrimental impact that 5G radiation will have on public health. We know for a fact, give you a little example, that fertility rates as a consequence of exposure to these frequencies that are used in mobile technology has caused for fertility rates in the US, for example, to plummet by more than 50% in the last decade or two. We know for a fact also that fertility rates diminish by over 1% in the US annually, and that the average Egyptian today is far more fertile than the average Westerner, purely as a consequence of his diminished exposure to these types of electromagnetic radiation technologies. In any event, let's consider another detrimental impact of this COVID-19 scamdemic. There's been a dramatic increase in violence inflicted within the family home during the lockdown, and this comes as a consequence of debt stress. And no one is really talking about the way in which it's impacted not just the financial well-being of families, but also the social and emotional well-being of neighborhoods. Also, remember that the COVID-19 catastrophe has intensified efforts to overthrow dissenting governments. Look at what's happened in Venezuela, for example. Iran is another classical example. The COVID-19 scamdemic is being used as a front to further legitimize sanctions and other type of even military tactics being deployed against those governments and destabilizing those societies. Also, we find no end to the many ongoing wars involving the United States. People are so focused on the COVID-19 distraction that they haven't considered the detrimental harm that is still being perpetrated against humanity by the ongoing wars, wars of aggression by Western states, particularly the United States. Also, the ongoing economic sanctions by the United States directed against a whole variety of countries, again, Iran and Venezuela right at the top. The COVID-19 distraction is drawing people's attention away from the harmful impact that it's been having on so many hundreds of millions of people across the globe. There's also the variety of actions undertaken to inflict greater repression, particularly against indigenous people. We find that the case in Australia and in North America. Those people engaged in national liberation struggles had all but been forgotten because of our obsession with this COVID-19 nonsense. There's also the dramatic increases in absolute impoverishment among marginalized individuals and communities who barely survive day to day under, you know, usual or normal circumstances. But given the compounded impact on the economic circumstances because of COVID-19, their predicament is ever so much more precarious. So all we can say is that there's actually so much that the COVID-19 scamdemic has allowed for these repressive governments and regimes across the world and the large banking and corporate institutions that determine the destiny of humanity to simply get away with. These are criminals, and their felonious activity, well, has just been swept under the rug, or the COVID-19 rug. There's also no pause in the economic exploitation of countries in the global south, with, for example, the International Monetary Fund quick to offer emergency finance to some 80 of these countries because of the COVID-19 scamdemic. Now, these loans will no doubt be done on the usual highly conditional and exploitative basis for which the IMF has built its reputation for destroying, in fact, the lives of ordinary local people by opening the door for corrupt or naive governments to accept corporate exploitation of their people and the exploitation of their natural resources, while building unsustainable levels of national debt, trying to pay back the loans and the interest on those loans to the IMF. They will be exploited indefinitely. The COVID-19 scamdemic has been a godsend to the cretins that actually rule the world. There'll be no pause in the environmentally destructive activities that they have been guilty of, ranging from the ongoing use of health-destroying poisons such as glyphosate that is used to contaminate our food, which further compromises our immunity, which makes us more susceptible to these genetically modified pathogens that are released in society, like COVID-19. But remember that glyphosate cause vastly more deaths than COVID-19 will ever cause. If we look at the ongoing destruction of pristine rainforests to create, among other possibilities, more palm oil plantations for multinational corporations and the junk food that they peddle all over the world, and especially the destruction of local industries and community farmers, well, none of that is going to stop. And the COVID-19 distraction is allowing for that to go on unabated. Also, remember that while we focus so much on the COVID-19 obsession, no one's talking about the domination of space, militarily and industrially, in violation of, in fact, the Outer Space Treaty of 1967, which declared that the exploration and the use of outer space, including the moon and other celestial bodies, shall be carried out for the benefit and in the interest of all countries, and shall be the province of all mankind. But what we find over the last few weeks, while everyone is obsessing over COVID-19, Donald Trump, for example, has signed an executive order to allow corporations again, and these criminal banks and these billionaires, to begin mining the moon, and also to exclude humanity from any potential benefit that may come as a consequence of outer space exploration and also the accrual of resources from outer space. So if you are, for example, a United States citizen, or as we are in Australia, an Australian citizen, which is, remember, Australia is joined at the hip to the United States, and we're wondering how the largest industrial project in the history of the planet, in other words, the development of the industries in outer space and on the moon, if you're thinking about how this will be financed, well, look in your own purse, look at your own wallets, and wonder how much more will be taken from you, so that, as usual, you pay the upfront costs associated with the vast profits that they plan to make. And of course, you will also pay with budget cuts to your health, to your education, and to your social security funding. So the points that I've listed are actually a very short list and confined to these, what we could call, readily observable moves. But it gives you some idea of what is really taking place behind this Fir'auni or Shaitani or Dajjali barrage of COVID-19 fear-mongering. Now, needless to say, it is the moves that we do not know about that are no doubt even more troubling. So what can we do in response to this fear-mongering and this coup, in fact, of insan, of humanity, that the COVID-19 obsession or hysteria is being used to disguise? Well, as Muslims, we should again be thinking outside the box. But unfortunately, so many of us and so many Islamic organizations have bought into this COVID-19 nonsense. Now, if we are to defend insan, then at least as Muslims, and especially given the month of Ramadan, a month of introspection, a month of retreating away from the distractions, particularly the media, at least we should be boycotting all corporate media outlets, not just the television, but also radio, newspapers, especially social media, Facebook, Twitter, and we should be seeking information from other sources that are committed to telling the truth. Secondly, we as Muslims at least should be setting the precedent whereby we should be withdrawing all our funds from the corporate banks that are supporting this coup of humanity and the complete suspension and, in fact, complete subversion and destruction of the last semblance of human rights that we are enjoying, at least in the West. Also, we should be boycotting the medical and pharmaceutical industries and patronizing our own traditional Islamic systems of medical practice as ensconced in the Tibbi Nabawi tradition. We should be conscientiously refusing to submit to vaccination as well. And by seeking health advice and treatment from natural therapists and rediscovering the Sunnah medical practice, the Tibbi Nabawi, we can at least set a precedent for our non-Muslim compatriots. There are many natural therapies, not just known to Muslims, but even to non-Muslims, that are far more effective, that are far more straightforward. And inshallah, in the next week or so, I'll be talking about these were the standard medical traditions of human societies up until the complete destruction of these time-tested, efficacious systems of medical treatment and of optimizing health by the emerging petrochemical industry and the rise of modern pharmaceuticals a century ago. But I'll spend about an hour or so in my next bayan focusing primarily on these more authentic forms of medical practice and calling out Western allopathic pharmaceutical medicines for what they are, a scam. In any event, let's get back to what we can do. We need to boycott corporate supermarkets. And we need, as Muslims, to be supporting small businesses, family businesses, our local markets. Also, we need to start getting our hands dirty. We need to rediscover the joys and the blessings of farming. Also, we as Muslims must participate in a locally relevant non-violent action campaigns and constructive programs whereby we can sensitize the broader public to really what's being done, the subversion of society in the name of this COVID-19 scam. We need to actually be making our voices heard. For example, we can withdraw labor from banking institutions. If we are part of banking organizations, we can withdraw from them. If we are part of media organizations that are perpetuating the lie, we can withdraw our labor from those media organizations. The pharmaceutical corporation, especially, that are operating in our countries, we can actually withdraw our labor and no longer be part and parcel of that insidious attempt to further compromise human health. When it comes to small farmers and farm workers participating in locally relevant non-violent action campaigns, for example, this might include distributing farm produce through grassroots networks to small and family businesses. The farmers can take their products directly to their local communities, their local markets, rather than through corporate supply chains, rather than supplying the large corporate grocery stores like Coles and Woolworths, for example. So this is something that any and every Muslim can do. This is something that we can encourage our neighbors and our colleagues who are involved in those respective industries to also do. This is the type of proactive action we can take to ensure that our voices are heard and that we simply don't just bow and yield to this Fir'auni Dajjali order that seeks to further strip us of our fundamental rights. Also, we can participate, for example, in programs that might include utilizing indigenous knowledge to improve local self-reliance in food production and in making ourselves, you could say, independent and de-linking ourselves from the grid of control. So not only getting our hands dirty and rediscovering the blessings of farming, but also using indigenous local wisdom. Also, if we are involved in the police services or in the military, soldiers, military police can refuse to obey orders from their, well, effectively, it is a global banking and corporate elite that even dictates government policy. So soldiers and people within the military police, for example, could refuse to obey orders to arrest, to assault, to torture, to shoot non-violent activists or protesters in their respective countries. There could be conscientious objection. Also, if you work in the police force, police officers could refuse to obey orders to assault and to torture and to shoot non-violent activists who are engaged in protesting against these oppressive clampdown measures. So the need to provide leadership and the need to support each other, to provide mutual aid at local levels is absolutely imperative. And as Muslims, we need to take the lead. We need to re-embrace that aspect of the sunnah of, at the very least, non-violent protest against wrongdoing, against mischief. At least if we cannot change evil by our hands, let us at least speak out against it. And as more people become aware of this coup against humanity, this coup on our basic human rights, on our dignity, and as the energy to resist this gathers pace, it will be worthwhile to choose a significant date, for example, on which as many people who are willing to do so can act to end this oppressive lockdown in our respective countries. We could, for example, use a locally relevant focus for which many people would traditionally be together, like Ramadan in Muslim countries, the time of Taraweeh in Muslim majority countries. At these times, people can be mobilized and people can collectively resist against these oppressive policies. And because the actions taken will be dispersed with large numbers of people responding in vast number of locations, it will be impossible for even those miscreants within the police and military forces to inflict violent repression against everyone all the time. They simply would not be able to do it. There would be too many people all at once. Now, equally important is that we need to become more self-reliant. And this is vital to our ongoing capacity to resist these Fir'auni encroachments on our rights and these Dajjali subversions of our freedoms and our economic security. We need to take full advantage of non-monetary forms of community where, for example, goods and services are exchanged directly without money as a medium of exchange. Internet platforms like, for example, a Gumtree of sorts, a local community Gumtree, whereby services and products within that community could be exchanged by local people who can log on to their local, you could say, local Gumtree and circumvent the need to use money or banks or credit cards. Now, money only has value in certain types of economy. And these types of economy must be superseded if we as insan, as human beings, are to survive. And given the enormous pressure on children at the moment, because remember, their lives are also upended, it would be useful to spend time listening to our children. Because the foundation of this entire shaitani, fir'auni controlled world and this Dajjali coup that is now being implemented, its success actually lies on the submissive obedience of the individual. And the world can only be rebuilt in a more righteous way, in a more dini way, in a way that we would like, if we stop terrorizing our children into being submissive to authority. In other words, by that what I mean is human institutions. We need to turn them back to divine institutions. We need to turn them back to the law of Allah, the guidance and the way of His Anbiya, of His prophets. We need to reintroduce our children to the Sunnah, and not just the dignity but the courage that the Sunnah imbues in insan. So I would start by parenting and educating children so that they become powerful Ruhani dynamos. Now, the global Shaitani rulers of the world are insane. And given that the statistics clearly show that the COVID-19 pandemic is already fading in most places where it previously had serious impact, it is possible that these global Shaitani madmen will not complete execution of their coup against Insan in the near future. It may be that they will be content with the demonstration of their phenomenal power to manipulate populations into submissively and passively bowing to them and doing their bidding. And they may defer this final, you could say, enslavement of Insan for a while. Now, if that is the case, the damage wrought by this so-called pandemic on our rights, on our freedoms, on our economic security, on our opportunities, on, you could say, inclusive and more democratic forms of governance. The global economy obviously has been ravaged. The environment is certainly still being exploited and raped. But especially our spiritual prerogatives, our religious rights, these will be irreparably damaged. And it would take many years to even restore a partial version of what we thought we had, while knowing that they can be taken away again and at any time, just as they were on this particular occasion. But to be quite frank, if I was a member of this Shaitani elite, of this Dajjali order, if I was the Firaun of this day, and if I had witnessed the remarkably submissive manner in which even our so-called activists and, you know, pro-democracy lefties were deceived by the COVID-19 coup, I would advocate actually for completing this coup now and in fact locked Insan down forever. I would insist on actually force vaccinating people now and ensuring that everyone has their own digital ID and their own surveillance chip. And I would promptly implement all the measures necessary to take final control of what we could call now prison planet and ensure that my Shaitani Dajjali order is established at this very moment. This is the opportunity. I would actually do it now. Obviously, I'm not a member of that Shaitani Dajjali elite. I will continue to draw attention, at least as a Muslim and as an imam in my community, to what is taking place. And I would encourage not just Muslims, but all the people I know, to resist in strategic ways. Ways that I, for example, described earlier. And I'm sure there are much more intelligent and much more creative ways. And probably you could think of better ways in which we could not just sensitize Insan to this deception, this Fir'auni magic that has been woven in front of them, and the fear that has been used to manipulating them into capitulation and to surrendering their basic human rights. But I would ensure that as many people as possible who are powerful enough to do so respond before it's too late. And if they don't have the power, then I'll do everything in my capacity to ensure that at least we begin with religion, with Allah, with Deen, with the Sunnah as a way of encouraging and revitalizing humanity. I would rather act sooner, while we still have some room to move, rather than later, when I guarantee you we will have very little, if any, room. Now, out of love for Insan, I as a Muslim encourage you, and I myself will not use banks, because remember, ultimately, none of this could occur had we not initially surrendered all our wealth to banking institutions. Banks rule the world, and these are private institutions. I would ensure that I do not use banks. I certainly will not use superannuation institutions or insurance companies. I would also secondarily not accept employment from or invest in any corporation or any institution that supports or participates in the exploitation of other human beings, Muslim and non-Muslim, or that is so focused on ensuring profits that it wouldn't hesitate to kill or to destroy not just human beings, but our entire biosphere. I will also ensure that I will not take my news or information from the corporate media or from government officials who have been proven time and time again to have lied to us. I would certainly not be reading the newspapers. I would not be listening to the radio. I would certainly not be listening to Facebook or Twitter and the like. I would make the time to actually read, and I would ensure that I network with people across the world who share similar concerns. At the very least, I would maintain a healthy skepticism about our politicians, and I would have reservations about anything and everything I see coming out or spewing out of the mouths of corporate media. Another thing I will do is that I will make the effort to learn a skill. And the best skill you could learn is gardening. In other words, producing your own food. This will make you more self-reliant. Or at least something as simple as sowing. Or at least something as simple as preparing your own herbal homemade medicines to treat basic illnesses. And I'll encourage also my family and friends to do the very same. So these are some of the things we need to keep in mind in the face of this bewitching scamdemic, the lies that have been woven over our eyes that obstructs even honest and good people from seeing the deception of this Dajjali order for what it is. Now, what can we expect over the next few weeks? Well, these are some of the things you need to keep in mind. There are just 7 steps from pandemic declaration to permanent totalitarianism. And most countries are actually already at step 5. Now, let's go through it. And you'll find a lot of this familiar. We've already lived through it over the last few weeks. Insofar as totalitarianism is concerned, from pandemic to totalitarianism, step 1 was, well, a new virus starts to spread around the world. The World Health Organization declares a pandemic. Governments declare states of emergencies, and humanity is shell-shocked. Now, that has already occurred. Step 2, another familiar step, we've seen it. Officials and media distort inconveniently low death tolls from the virus and instead focus on alarming statistics produced by compliant academics, social media influencers, and the high-profile organizations that we've come to learn of over the last few weeks. And simultaneously, central banks and governments hand out massive amounts of cash, well, actually to benefit big banks and the corporations attached to them. That has already occurred. Step 3, models are released that predict snowballing of numbers of cases. Public health officials then significantly loosen the criteria for viral infections. That has also occurred. Step 4, when the numbers of cases start to plateau, officials claim that if such measures aren't kept in place, there will be a resurgence of cases and deaths. So lockdown measures need to be continued. That has already occurred. What is step 5? And this is the one that we're currently in. In fact, we almost finished with this one. About 2 or 3 weeks after step 4, the testing for viral DNA produces the desired goal of a significant upsurge in the number of people found positive for the virus, but not affected by it, just found positive. In other words, carriers of the virus. Now, governments then start to design and implement immunity passport systems. And they highlight the importance of vaccines. And this is currently where we're at. What is coming next? Well, step 6 is coming next. And hear my words. The World Health Organization, pharmaceutical and biotech companies, will then offer different types of antivirals and vaccines. And large swaths of the population don't have the antibodies to the virus because, well, they've been kept indoors from being exposed to it. What we call herd immunity hasn't been realized amongst most populations. And they eagerly accept these medications, even though they've been rushed to market with inadequate safety testing. What happens after that? Well, step 7. The virus will then start another cycle around the globe. Just as the flu, for example, and other viruses have for millennia every year. Officials will then again fan the flames of fear by posting the potential for millions of deaths amongst people not yet protected from the virus. They will then rapidly roll out virus and antibody testing again, while companies begin to sell billions more doses of antivirals and booster vaccines. Thereafter, governments will simultaneously cede control of all remaining public assets to global companies. Now, this is because local and national governments' tax bases were decimated during step 1, and they're virtually bankrupt from the unprecedented spending in the war against the virus in all the other steps we mentioned earlier. And that is why they will cede control of their public assets to global companies. The overall result is complete martial law medicalization of the response to the virus, which on a population level is no more harmful than influenza. So because of a virus that is no more harmful than influenza, we will have complete martial law, a medical martial law. And this is coupled with the creation of permanent totalitarianism controlled by not governments, not elected governments, but by global companies. And with that, a 24/7 invasive surveillance police state sponsored by widespread smart technology. And all of this facilitated by the 5G network. Now, the key players will then repeat the cycle of hysteria and massive administration of antivirals and booster shots every few months. And they implement a variety of steps, 1 to 7, when another new pathogen or virus appears on the planet. Now, if this sounds far-fetched, let me tell you something. It's not. We've already seen steps 1 to 5. And with the arrival of COVID-19, many countries quickly completed steps 1, 2, and 3. As we mentioned, step 4 is well underway in a large number of jurisdictions. Step 5 is currently what we're doing now in May. And, well, I'll leave you with a few more chilling predictions. China, and this has already started, will be blamed. And isn't it funny how just a few weeks ago, it was a thought crime to suggest that this novel coronavirus could have anything whatsoever to do with the biosafety level 4 laboratory in Wuhan. And anyone who suggested that it was a genetically modified man-made virus was branded a conspiracy theorist. But now, 4, 5, or 6 weeks later, these theories are in fact the mainstream headline fodder. All of a sudden now China is the one responsible because of its lack of biosafety and its dabbling in manipulation of viruses in labs. Now, I'll tell you the reason why there's been a volte-face. It's because this is actually World War III. And I believe that historians of a future age may just mark the great coronavirus crisis of 2020 as the first salvo in the Third World War. The real World War III is, as far as I'm concerned, already underway. And it's a war on free humanity by those shaitani, fir'auni, New World Order cretins who seek to rule over us. But one can rest assured that if and when those shaitani, dajjali agents decide to truly plunge the world into chaos and let slip the dogs of war, these misleaders will use a coronavirus was made in a lab narrative to justify that war. If you look at the war of words that is already underway, Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Zhao Lijian has raised the possibility that the US Army brought the virus to Wuhan during last October's military world games. What happened in return? Senator Tom Cotton is suggesting that the virus is a leaked Chinese bioweapon. And this is a claim that is now being doggedly pursued in all mainstream media. And American Mockingbird media has been particularly virulent, as well as Australian media. Now, any such China-US war that develops will be a contrived and manipulated conflict, much like the contrived and manipulated Soviet-US conflict of the 20th century and the manipulated and contrived war on Islamic terror. But the lives lost in such a squabble will definitely be all too real. It's a contrived, manipulated conflict, but the lives lost will not be contrived. There will be absolute mayhem and bloodshed across the world. And this may just be the precursor to that malhama, that Armageddon, that is described in the hadith. Now, another thing to keep in mind is that what we have in COVID-19 is just a precursor. The real bioweapons are actually waiting in the wings. We are certainly dealing with a bioweapon of some sort. Li Langyuan in Zhejiang University reports the discovery, in fact, of 30 separate strains of SARS-CoV-19 or COVID-2 virus. Now, some of these strains are capable of producing 270 times the viral load of the weaker strains that we've been exposed to up to this point. Now, we are not dealing with a naturally occurring virus. We are dealing with a virus that has a whole full spectrum of strains, and we have been exposed to probably the least virulent strain. Now, every major military power has spent vast amounts of money developing biological weapons of various sorts. The COVID-19 strain is a particularly clever one, in that it's enough to scare people into submission, but not strong enough to completely slip out of control of the orchestrators of the scamdemic. Now, biological warfare programs are pursued for offensive purposes. We are transitioning from the age of terror into the age of bioterror. And here's how Bill Gates, the ubiquitous cretin whose ugly head seems to be emerging at every corner and every turn in this COVID-19 scamdemic. He says that Melinda and I, to quote him, Melinda and I grew up learning that World War II was a defining moment of our parents' generation. In a similar way, the COVID-19 pandemic, the first modern pandemic, will define this era. No one who lives through pandemic one will ever forget it. And it is impossible to overstate the pain that people are feeling now and will continue to feel for years to come. This is how Bill Gates describes this scamdemic. It is an event that literally changed the course of history. I believe that it is the first in a series of deceptive campaigns to terrify humanity into meekly and submissively accepting a new Pharaoni order, a new enslavement of humanity. It is the beginning of the ushering in of a Dajjali order that we as Muslims should have been all too familiar with, given the extent of the information and the warnings that have been proffered to us by the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our ulama over the ages. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the hikmah, the wisdom to see this falsehood and this deception for what it is, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the courage to be the leaders of humanity and at the forefront of challenging this Dajjali Fir'auni order. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين